again in complete dependence upon her Lord for all needed help, that by his Spirit there is some hearing of his word and profit and blessing to our souls. I would ask your prayerful attention to the text that we heard this morning in Exodus chapter 15 and verse 26. Exodus 15, verse 26. If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in his sight, and wilt give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians. For I am the Lord that healeth thee. This afternoon, particularly that last clause. For I am the Lord that healeth thee. Dear friends, this clause of this verse has nothing but sovereign grace. The ordinance and statute of the early part of this verse, which was obedience to God's word and his ways, is something that Israel of old, they could not do. They could not earn the merit of their God. They failed and failed and they failed again. We noted this morning in the context of this text, the Lord's great deliverance to them from Egypt. And then how they murmured through lack of faith and trust, murmured against God at the Red Sea, then murmured against God again at the waters of Marah. And immediately following the great blessing he brought upon them, murmuring again at the beginning of chapter 60, when they had no bread. And even though the Lord gave them that bread, if we'd have read on further in these next few chapters, they came to loathe that light bread. Oh, they were unable to keep what we might call the covenant of works. And the scripture tells us the weakness of the covenant of works was in their dependence of obedience upon mankind. But this people, Israel, was once separated out. It was separated out from Egypt at the time of those plagues. I have put a division between my people and thy people. And as we noted this morning, that word division in the Hebrew is the same as redeem, a redemption. I put a redemption between my people and thy people. For the Lord knoweth them that are his. He knoweth all about them. He knows they're sinful. He knows they're weak. He knows they are but dust. He knows they have no strength at all. And dear friends, as Israel was sinners in spirit, so are you and so am I. But all for those evidences. Those evidences that we are amongst the redeemed. I tried to outline a few this morning of the evidences that we may receive, and it draws us, doesn't it, to the word of truth and to seek to be true followers of the Lord. But oh, how we find another spirit working within us. One that's so easily to murmur and complain and repine and, oh, even return to the state we were in before called by grace, through the pressure of our own earthly hearts and the lust of our flesh, when things do not go right in accordance to our own self-will. It was the psalmist, wasn't it? Giving that outline of the journey of the children of Israel. This is in Psalm 78, if I can just turn to it. For their heart was not right with him, that's with God, neither were they steadfast in his covenant. But God, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity and destroyed them not. Yea, many a time turned he his anger away and did not stir up all his wrath. Oh, dear friends, what mercy. You know, although the Lord said, I put a division between my people and thy people, as he spoke to Pharaoh, in the flesh there was no division in their own spirit between Pharaoh and the children of Israel. Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey him? What did Israel say when they came into trouble in the wilderness concerning God? Oh, who is this? What is this that we should obey him? Who is he that we should trust him? Oh, let us return, for things were better then than they are now. Dear friends, what a sinful spirit there's in us by nature, isn't it? And yet, all this sovereign grace over sin abounding. For I am the Lord that healeth thee. Dear friends, if it wasn't for such a truth as this, that those children of Israel would never have got to the promised land. If it wasn't for a truth as this, none of us would ever get to heaven. For I am the Lord that healeth thee. I am the Lord that blotteth out thy transgression. Now, reading this afternoon in that chapter 23, verse 20, it began with a promise. Behold, I send an angel before thee to keep thee in the way, and to bring thee into the place which I have prepared. Dear friends, that's the promise of a faithful God, isn't it? A faithful God to a rebellious people. Oh, we sometimes sing that hymn, don't we? Rebellious thou hast been, and art rebellious still. But since in love I took thee in, my promise I'll fulfill. Behold, I send an angel before thee. Now, what is this angel? Well, an angel is a messenger. A messenger of God. An angel speaks the word of God. An angel is the ambassador of God. Dear friends, does this not speak of Jesus, the Son of God in the flesh? The word of God? The word was made flesh. Is this not a prophecy? Oh, what did Paul say concerning the journey of Israel from to the promised land? Oh, they were fed with spiritual food, that manner. And the rock that followed them, it was Christ. The rock that followed, that constant supply of those life-giving streams, waters from the rock, the grace of God. It was Christ present with them. I am the Lord that healeth thee. Oh, dear friends, if there'd been no such streams, if there'd been no such, there'd have been great sickness, wouldn't there? There would have been death. No, I will send an angel before thee. Christ, the word of truth, the spirit of truth, to keep thee in the way, to bring thee into the place which I have prepared. Oh, what was this Spirit of truth? Oh, to pardon their iniquity. Again and again, as we read there in that psalm, didn't we? Being full of compassion, he forgave their iniquity and destroyed them not. Yea, many a time turned he his anger away and did not stir up all his wrath. Dear friends, where did he turn his anger away to? He put it all upon his dear Son, who was to come to bear the sins of many. In the fullness of time to be born of that woman, of whom it was prophesied, the seed of the woman, to bruise the serpent's head, that there might constantly be this redemption, the pardon of all their sins, the price paid to deliver them and keep them free from the power of sin, from their bondage, and to lead them forth by the right way, dependence upon the Lord Jesus Christ and his mercy, dependence upon that grace, dependence, oh, upon that redemption. How they came, didn't they? As the Lord said, to prove what is in thine heart. They proved again and again and again their sinfulness. And when they repented, when they turned again, and Moses so often on their behalf cried unto the Lord, he put away their sin and did not destroy them all. Did not destroy them all. Some of them were destroyed, weren't they? But what a solemn warning there is here in that portion we read, verse 21. Beware of him and obey his voice. Provoke him not, for he will not pardon your transgressions. For my name is in him. Beware of him and obey his voice. Provoke him not, for he will not pardon your transgressions. Dear friends, what were these transgressions which were not pardoned? They were disobedience because of unbelief. Their disobedience because of unbelief. Oh, how solemn is that sin. He came upon them, didn't it? Because he came to Barney. When the Lord said unto them, the voice of the Lord came, which they were to obey, go up and possess the land that, which is before thee. For the Lord hath given it unto thee. They sent out those spies. And 10 of the 12 spies returned, saying, we cannot go up. We cannot obey the Lord's voice. The enemy, the possessors of that land, those that dwell there, they're too great for us. It would be foolishness to go up. We cannot go, even though it's a good land. And so they persuaded the people. They could not go, and they spoke even of stoning. Caleb and Joshua, who were encouraging them through faith in God, in obedience to his word. How they turned about upon them. The Lord said, I will surely do this unto all this evil congregation that are gathered together against me. In this wilderness they shall be consumed, and there they shall die. There was no pardon, no pardon for that deliberate disobedience to the word of God on account of their unbelief. Oh, dear friends, what a warning there is to us, isn't there? The hardness of our heart. Disobedience to the word of God through unbelief, and it is not a good way, it is not the right way. One knows one's own way better than the Lord can command it to us. Have you ever been tempted and tried with that? Beware of him and obey his voice. Provoke him not. For he will not pardon your transgression. And what did Paul say concerning that day? Writing to the Hebrews, he says they could not enter in to the promised land because of unbelief. Because of unbelief. Oh, that wasn't the right way for them, even though it was the Lord's way. And they turned about from it. And they perished in the wilderness. Oh, dear friends, let us tremble at the word of God. What did the Jews do to Jesus? Did they not provoke him with their unbelief? Oh, what was our text last Lord's Day morning? Jesus says, if ye do not believe that I am he, the Christ, ye shall die in your sins, if ye believe not. If we did not obey that truth which came from his lips, and his glorious death and resurrection and ascension, the payment of the price for sin of the Lamb of God, who alone can take away the sin of the world. I am the way, the truth, and the life. If we believe not, we shall die in our sins. If we try to climb up some other way, we are of a thief and a robber. There's no place for them in heaven, is there? They're a thief in that they rob him of his glory because we put some of the glory on ourselves that we know a better way. Oh, dear friends, that'll be solemn in that day of judgment for such as deceived in not believing in Christ. By faith, never influenced by the Spirit of God, never drawn in humble confession to his feet for the forgiveness of sins, for the healing of our souls. Oh, never seen that our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and his righteousness. All these here, did not the Lord say here to all the people in this portion we read this afternoon, for mine angel shall go before thee and bring thee in unto the Amorites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, and the Canaanites, and I will cut them off. And they did not believe his word, did they? Oh, there's the sons of Anak, there, the Anakims, now far greater than once. Oh, those walls of the city are built up high. We cannot knock them down. No, of course they couldn't, of themselves. But they'd had the promise of the word of God. I will go before thee and bring thee into the Amorites. Oh, they shall not bow down. Thou shalt not bow down to their gods, no. No, they didn't bow down to their God, did they? The Almighty God. They did not humble themselves before him. Oh, they did not believe on him by faith. They cast his word aside and they perished in their sin in the wilderness. But the Lord didn't destroy them all. Oh, dear friends, what mercy he could have done, couldn't he? He says, my name is in him. My name is in him. What name is in him? The name of the Father is in the Son. Jesus said, I am in the Father and the Father in me. Oh, that name, merciful and gracious. Long-suffering, abounding in goodness and truth. I can just drop upon that exact wording, which I think is right. Keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children. Oh, those that sinned, dear friends, the Lord's judgment was upon them all, wasn't it? The 40 years they should now wander in that wilderness. But what's this? It says forgiving iniquity and transgressions and sin. What iniquity, transgression and sin is that? It's that, dear friends, when we're overtaken by the weakness of our flesh, we acknowledge it that we are worthless, and we fall before him pleading for that forgiveness, pleading for iniquity to be taken away, pleading for our transgressions to be pardoned. Oh, there's a difference there, isn't there? Between those through unbelief turned away from the Lord and saying, no, my way is better than his way. And those who fall, oh, and they realize their sinfulness, their transgression, their rebelliousness. And they fall before him at the throne of grace to obtain mercy and grace to help in the time of need. The Lord, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth, I am the Lord that healeth thee. Oh, he answers those prayers. He answers those cries. Oh, dear friends, what a need there is, isn't there, for each of us to know this healing virtue through Christ, the Son of God, the unspeakable gift of God, whom he sent for the pardon of sins, to poor sinners who cannot keep themselves in the way everlasting, to poor sinners who are so prone to start aside. Friends, that's you and me, isn't it? But I am the Lord that healeth thee. I am the Lord that will keep thee. Those sins and transgressions laid upon me. Oh, this is the word, isn't it? The word of the angel. To keep thee in the way, to bring thee into the place which I have prepared. You know, dear friends, sicknesses in our body and in our minds can be sanctified to the Lord, by the Lord, to the blessing of our souls. We all have sicknesses, don't we, at times? Have pains, those afflictions which affect our bodies. And dear friends, they're very grievous. Diseases. Oh, we have a threatening disease at the moment with this COVID-19. And dear friends, when it infects a person, how great is that sickness? And there are other sicknesses throughout the world which bring into distress. Dear friends, how the Lord can use them. In what way can the Lord use them? By bringing them to be a spirit of infirmities. A spirit of infirmities. In other words, it's not just a physical pain and affliction. It has a spiritual aspect to it as well. Well, we have one or two examples of that in the scripture, don't we? You know, that man full of leprosy, he came before the Lord, Lord, if it is thy will, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. It became an exercise of faith to him, didn't it? Faith was tried. His faith was tried through his sickness. And he poured out his heart before God in faith. The Lord answered it. I will, be thou clean. And immediately, the leprosy, he was cleansed of his leprosy. sacrifice. That would have been blessed, wouldn't it, to his soul? Oh, we sang, didn't we, of one, the woman with the issue of blood. When she heard of Jesus, dear friend, she'd got that sickness for 12 years. But when she heard of Jesus, it became, as it were, a spiritual exercise within her. If I may but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be healed. An exercise of faith. Dear friend, she wasn't turned away, was she? Oh, she came pressing through the crowd. There was a lot of hindrance to her, but she persevered. If I may but touch, I shall be cleansed. And she was. Thy faith, says the Lord to her, hath healed thee, hath made thee whole, body and spirit. Go in peace. Well, dear friend, do you know what it is for an affliction, a pain, to be a spiritual exercise to you? What about that woman in the synagogue on the Sabbath day, bound 18 years? The Lord Jesus, whom Satan hath bound these 18 years. How did the scriptures describe that woman? A spirit of infirmity, bound by Satan, could not lift herself up. It was a spiritual exercise to her. Wasn't that because she was in the temple? In the synagogue, rather. She still persevered to come, didn't she? Was it in hope? In prayer? Oh, to be restored, a spirit of infirmity. And when Jesus came on that particular a Sabbath day, he touched her, and she was made straight. And she glorified God. She glorified God. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. I am the Lord that healeth thee. Yes, in body, for the sanctification of your soul. Oh, dear friends, this God is our God. This Christ, is he not our Christ? I love that word. Also, we find, I think it's in Psalm,
we will try just to carry on just for a very short time. I'm not too sure at what time we lost the signal, the 4G signal at the chapel, but I was referring to that lovely portion of Psalm 147 and verse 3. He healeth the broken in heart, and bindeth up the wounds. The broken in heart. There's many things which can cause us to be broken in heart, especially where there's an effect upon our love, perhaps one to another, our affections. And that love is affected by some incident. And it breaks our heart. It gives us quite a deep sorrow. It may be a desire for something to take place. And when it does not come, in spite of our longing, maybe many petitions, it causes us a breaking of heart. And there's Hannah, isn't there? Anna, who was broken-hearted because she was barren and she could not have any children. She came to that time, as she came into the temple, she could not eat because her sorrow was so great. And broken-hearted, she poured it out before the Lord with that wondrous vow that if the Lord would give her a man-child, she would give him to the Lord. And the Lord heard her cry. Why, by faith she believed she'd heard, he'd believed he'd heard her, and she was no more sad. The broken heart was healed the expectation of the answer to prayer was given, and she fulfilled her vow, and it was for the honour and glory of God. Oh, how he sanctified the broken heart, the spirit of trouble, which brought about that spiritual exercise. And it was for the glory of God and for the blessing of Hannah. How she glorified God the next time she went to the temple and took Samuel with her. We read it in the first book of Samuel, chapter 2. Lifts the beggar out of the dunghill. I am the Lord that healeth thee. Oh, Hannah was healed completely of a barrenness physically and barrenness spiritually, where she can now glorify God. But oh, what more causes the broken heart than the knowledge of our sin? The spiritual exercise of our sinfulness. It's a spirit of infirmity, isn't it? David knew it when he sinned. Or when he spoke of the broken heart, it's the acceptable sacrifice before God. A broken and a contrite spirit. A broken and a contrite heart, which is acceptable unto God. And David knew the answer as he poured out his prayer before the Lord. Oh, I have put away thy sin. Thou shalt not see death. I am the Lord that healeth thee. Oh, how vital is this healing knowledge, this fountain opened for sin and uncleanness in Jesus Christ, the Saviour of sinners. Oh, we think of that portion we read, Hosea, chapter 14, where, oh Israel, is said in the previous chapter, didn't it? Thou hast destroyed thyself. Oh, O Israel, coming out of Egypt on the way to the promised land, physically in disobedience and rebellion, destroyed themselves. They still did when they were in the promised land, didn't they, when they were to conquer those other nations. They turned aside and they fell into ungodly ways. O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself, but in me is thy help. Still a gracious God, still a faithful God, still one who loved his people. Nothing could separate them, even their greatest sins, from that love. Their rebelliousness. O Israel, said Hosea, return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. Take with you words and turn to the Lord. Say unto him, take away all iniquity. Receive us graciously. So will we render the calves of our lips, the sacrifices of our lips, from our hearts. Oh, I am the Lord that healeth thee. And the answer to that broken-hearted petition, I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely. For mine anger is turned away from him. Again, where did that anger go? Upon his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who bore the wrath of God for sin, even our sin, that he might make it a cup of love, of mercy, unto our never-dying soul. Oh, I am the Lord that healeth thee. Oh, dear friends, is there one of you that needs that word, that healeth thee? Oh, Jesus, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. Oh, he was tempted in all points such as we are, yet he without sin. Oh, but we have that lovely verse, don't we, in Isaiah 53. What is it? But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. That word stripes It's really the bruises, the wounds, those wheals which come from being beaten. Oh, how he was mocked and scourged, wasn't he? Shed his blood. The wounds of Jesus for our sin. By his stripes we are healed. And then, dear friends, we can say, when that comes in the power and sweetness of the Spirit, surely he hath borne our griefs, carried our sorrows. We did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Oh, we've gone astray. Israel went astray. All God's people have gone astray. We cannot keep ourselves, no, to that ordinance, which is the first part of our text, which we considered this morning, and our nature to turn away from it in spite of his many mercies. And yet, a faithful God, I am the Lord that healeth thee. Now, Francis, has been a bit of a broken sermon, hasn't it? The technology failed, well, as well as myself, quite often, I do. But the Lord does not fail. May this word be a word in season to some of you. You who are burdened by your sinfulness, your rebelliousness, you who've got a pain, an affliction, oh, may the Lord make it a spirit of infirmity, cause you to cry. You with great disappointments and sorrows of heart for whatever reason, oh, that broken heart, pour it out before the Lord. Tell him all the truth. I am the Lord that healeth thee, can turn all these things to the sanctifying of your soul and the glory of his name. Amen.